praised his way of cooking because it was so great a saving of time, and seeing that the other friars ate none of it, he said, "These fowls are good for the head, and this food will keep the body in health, so wholesome is it." So that the brethren were all in admiration at the devotion and simplicity of Brother Juniper. But the guardian, being angry at such folly, and grieved at the waste of so much good food, reproved Brother Juniper severely. Then Brother Juniper fell on his knees before the guardian and humbly confessed his fault to him and all the brethren, saying, "I am a very wicked man. Such a one committed such a sin, for which he was condemned to lose his eyes. Such another was hanged for his crimes, but I deserve far worse for my evil deeds. And now I have wasted so much of the gifts of God and the substance of the order." And thus lamenting, he departed, nor would he come into the presence of any one of the brethren for the rest of that day. Then said the Father Guardian, "My dearest brethren, I would that every day this brother might spoil as much of our substance, if we had it, as he has done today, were it only for the edification he has given us by the simplicity and charity with which he has done this thing." Chapter 11. How Brother Juniper went one day to Assisi for his own confusion. Once when Brother Juniper was dwelling in the valley of Spoleto, knowing that there was to be a great solemnity at Assisi, and that many were resorting thither with great devotion, it came into his head to go there also. And you shall hear in what guise he went. He stripped himself of all but his inner garment, and thus, passing through the midst of the city of Spoleto, he came to the convent. The brethren, much displeased and scandalized, rebuked him sharply, calling him a fool, a madman, and a disgrace to the order of St. Francis, and declaring that he ought to be put in chains as a madman. And the general, who was then on the spot, calling all the friars together, gave Brother Juniper a very sharp correction in the presence of them all. And after many words, he ended with this severe sentence, "So great and grievous is thy fault, that I know not what sufficient penance to give thee." Then Brother Juniper answered, as one who delighted in his own confusion, "Father, I will tell you, for penance, send me back again from this solemnity in the same guard in which I came to it." Chapter 12. How Brother Juniper fell into an ecstasy during the celebration of Mass. As Brother Juniper was one day hearing Mass with great devotion, he fell into an ecstasy, and so continued for a long space of time. And when he came to himself, he said with great fervor of spirit to the other friars, "O my brethren, who is there in this world so noble that he would disdain to carry a basket of mud all the world over in the hope of obtaining a house full of gold?" Then he added, "Alas, why will we not endure a little shame to obtain life eternal?" Chapter 13. Of the sorrow which Brother Juniper felt at the loss of his companion, Brother Amaziel Beni. Brother Juniper had a companion named Amaziel Beni, whom he loved most tenderly, and who possessed the virtues of patience and obedience in the utmost perfection. For when he was beaten and ill-treated on all sides, he never complained or uttered a word of remonstrance. He was often sent to places where he met with persons who treated him most cruelly, and he bore it all patiently and without the least resentment. At the command of Brother Juniper, he would laugh or weep. At last, as it pleased God to ordain, this brother, Amaziel Beni, died, in high reputation for sanctity. And when Brother Juniper heard of his death, he felt greater sorrow thereat than he had ever experienced in his life for any earthly thing. And thus did he express in words the great bitterness of his heart, saying, "Alas, woe is me, for there is no good left me now, and all the world is darkened to me by the death of my sweet and most loving brother, Amaziel Beni." And he added, "Were it not that I should have no peace from the brethren, I would go to his grave and take out his head, and out of his skull I would make me two vessels. From the one I would always eat in memory of him for my own devotion, and from the other I would drink when I was thirsty." Chapter 14. Of the hand which Brother Juniper saw in the air. Brother Juniper being one day in prayer, and it may be, proposing to himself to do great things for God, he saw a hand in the air and heard with his bodily ears a voice, which said thus to him, O Brother Juniper, with this hand thou canst do nothing. Then he arose immediately, and with his eyes raised to heaven, he went round the convent repeating aloud, True indeed, most true indeed. And this he repeated many times. Chapter 15. How St. Francis commanded Brother Leo to wash the stone. When St. Francis was speaking with Brother Leo on Mount Alvernia, he said to him, Brother little lamb, wash the stone with water. Then Brother Leo went forth and washed it with water. Then said St. Francis with great joy and gladness, Wash it with wine. And it was done. Wash it, said St. Francis, again with oil. And Brother Leo did so. Then said St. Francis, Brother little lamb, wash this stone with balm. And Brother Leo answered, O sweet father, how am I to get balm in the wilderness? Then St. Francis replied, Know, Brother little lamb, that this is the stone on which Christ once was seated when he appeared to me in this place. And therefore did I bid thee wash it four times, and no more, because Jesus Christ then promised me four singular graces for my order. The first, that all those who shall cordially love my order, and all the friars who shall persevere therein, shall die a good death. The second, that those who persecute this holy religion shall be notably punished. The third, that no evildoer continuing his perversity shall be able to persevere long in this order. The fourth, that this religion shall endure until the day of judgment. Part 3. The Life of the Blessed Brother Giles, Companion of St. Francis. Chapter 1. How Brother Giles, with three companions, was received into the order of Friars Minor. Inasmuch as the example of holy men serves to detach the minds of devout hearers from transitory pleasures, and to excite them to the desire of eternal salvation, to the honor of God and of His Most Holy Mother, Our Lady St. Mary, we will say a word concerning the graces wrought by the Holy Ghost in the soul of our holy brother Giles, who, even while he wore the secular habit, being touched by the Spirit of God, began to strive in all his actions to please God alone. At that time St. Francis appeared as a new herald of Christ to give an example of holy living, of humility and penance. Then, 2 years after his conversion, a man named Bernard, endowed with marvelous prudence and very rich in temporal goods, with Peter Catani, was drawn by his example to the observance of evangelical poverty. By the counsel of St. Francis, they distributed all their temporal possessions for the love of God among the poor, arraying themselves in the glory of patience and evangelical perfection, with the habit of the Friars Minor. In all their life did they keep their promise then made with the greatest fervor and perfection. 8 days after their said conversion and distribution, Brother Giles, being still in the secular habit, and seeing the contempt of earthly things manifested by these noble knights of Assisi, to the great admiration of the whole world, on the feast of St. George in the year 1209, very early in the morning, as one in earnest about his salvation, went in great fervor of spirit to the church of St. Gregory, where was the monastery of St. Clare. Being greatly desirous to see St. Francis, he went, as soon as he had finished his prayers, towards the hospital for lepers, where St. Francis dwelt apart in profound humility, with Brother Bernard and Brother Peter Catani. Being come to a crossway and not knowing which road to take, he prayed to Christ, our precious guide, who led him straight to the hut. And as he pondered upon the cause of his coming, he met St. Francis returning from the forest, where he had been praying. Then Brother Giles threw himself at his feet, and besought him to receive him into his company for the love of God. And St. Francis, beholding the devout countenance of Brother Giles, answered and said, Dearest brother, God hath conferred a great grace upon thee. If the emperor were to come to Assisi and propose to make one of its citizens his knight or private chamberlain, would not such an offer be joyfully accepted as a great mark of honor and distinction? How much more shouldst thou rejoice that God has called thee to be his knight and chosen servant, to observe the perfection of his holy gospel? Therefore, do thou stand firm in the vocation to which God hath called thee. And taking him by the hand, he raised him up, and bringing him into the hut, he called Brother Bernard and said to him, Almighty God has sent us a good brother. Let us therefore rejoice in the Lord and eat together in charity. When they had eaten, Brother Francis and this Giles went to Assisi to obtain some cloth to make him a habit. And by the way they met a poor woman who asked an alms for the love of God. St. Francis, not knowing where to find anything for the poor woman, turned to Brother Giles with an angelic countenance and said, For the love of God, dearest brother, let us give her your mantle. And Brother Giles obeys with so willing a heart that the Holy Father thought he saw him and his arms received forthwith into heaven, whereat he experienced an exceeding interior joy. St. Francis, having procured the cloth and caused the habit to be made, received Brother Giles into the order, and he became one of the most glorious religious whom the world has ever seen in the contemplative life. Immediately after his reception, St. Francis went with him into the March of Ancona, singing with him and greatly praising the Lord of heaven and earth. And he said to Brother Giles, My son, this religion of ours shall be like unto the fisherman, who casteth his nets into the water, and taketh a great multitude of fishes, whereof he keepeth the larger, casting the smaller back into the sea. Brother Giles marveled at this prophecy, for the order at that time numbered only 3 friars besides St. Francis himself. Moreover, St. Francis had not yet begun to preach publicly to the people, but only admonished men and women as he met with them by the way, saying with loving simplicity, Love God and fear him, and do worthy penance for your sins. And Brother Giles would say in his turn, Do this which my spiritual father says to you, for he speaketh excellently well. Chapter 2. How Brother Giles went to St. James the Great. By the permission of St. Francis, Brother Giles went once in the process of time to St. James the Great in Galatia. And in that whole journey he broke his fast only once because of the great poverty of the country. And as he went asking alms and finding none who would give to him, he came one evening by chance to a barn, where a few beans lay scattered on the ground. These he gathered up and supped on them. And in this barn he passed the night, for he loved to abide in solitary places remote from the haunts of men, the better to give himself to watching and prayer. And God so strengthened him by this supper that if he had eaten of ever so rich a banquet, he could not have been so well refreshed. Proceeding then upon his way, he met with a poor man who asked an alms of him for the love of God. And Brother Giles, charitable as he was, had nothing to give but the habit he wore. So he cut the hood from his cloak and gave it to the poor man for the love of God, and so journeyed on without a hood for 20 days altogether. And as he was returning through Lombardy, a man called to him, to whom he went willingly, expecting to receive an alms. But when he stretched out his hand, the man put a pair of dice into it, inviting him to play. Brother Giles replied very humbly, God forgive thee, my son. And as he passed through the world, he met with much mockery and insult, and endured it all in peace. Chapter 3. Of Brother Giles' manner of life when he went to the Holy Sepulchre. Brother Giles, by the permission of St. Francis, went to visit the Holy Sepulchre of Christ, and being come to the port of Brindisi, he was obliged to tarry there many days because there was no ship ready to sail. So Brother Giles, desiring to live by his labor, got a vessel, and filling it with water, he went around the city crying, Who wants water? And for his labor he received bread and all things necessary for the bodily support of himself and his companion. Then he passed over the sea and with great devotion visited the sepulchre of Christ and the other holy places. And as he returned, he abode for some days in the city of Ancona. And because he was accustomed to live by his labor, he made baskets of rushes and sold them, not for money, but for bread for himself and his companion. And he carried the dead to their burial for the same wages. And when even this failed him, he begged at the table of Jesus Christ, asking alms from door to door. And with so much labor and in poverty, he returned to St. Mary of the Angels. Chapter 4. how Brother Giles praised obedience more than prayer. As a brother was one day praying in his cell, his superior sent him in obedience to leave his prayer and go out to beg. The friar went forthwith to Brother Giles and said to him, "Father, I was at prayer, and the guardian had bade me go forth to beg. Now it seems to me far better that I should continue praying." Brother Giles answered, "My son, do you not yet know or understand what prayer is? True prayer is to do the will of our superior, and it is great pride in him who has submitted his neck to the yoke of holy obedience, to desire to follow his own will in anything, in order, as he thinks, to perform a work of greater perfection. The perfectly obedient religious is like a horseman mounted on a mettlesome steed, which carries him swiftly and fearlessly on his way. But the disobedient religious, on the contrary, is like a man seated on a meager, weak, or vicious horse, who is in danger of perishing by the way or of falling into the hands of his enemies. I tell thee that, though a man were raised to so high a degree of contemplation as to hold converse with angels, yet were he interrupted in that colloquy by the voice of obedience, he ought immediately to leave communing with the angels and obey the command of his superior." Chapter 5. How Brother Giles Lived by the Labor of His Hands. When Brother Giles was once living in a convent of the Friars Minor at Rome, he desired, as he had done ever since his entrance into the order, to employ himself in manual labor, and thus did he spend his day. Early in the morning he heard Mass with great devotion. Then he went into a forest about 8 miles out of Rome, and bringing home a great bundle of wood on his back, he sold it for bread and other provisions. One day, as he was bringing home his load of wood, a lady met him and offered to buy it. So, having agreed with her as to the price, he carried it to her house. The lady, notwithstanding the agreement, seeing that he was a religious, gave him much more than she had promised. Then said Brother Giles, "Good lady, I would not have the vice of avarice to gain the mastery of me. Therefore I will not take from thee more than we agreed upon." And instead of taking more than the stipulated sum, he took but half of it and went his way, leaving the lady in great admiration. Brother Giles always showed the like scrupulous integrity in all his dealings. He helped the laborers to gather the olives and pluck the grapes. Being one day in the marketplace, he heard a man asking another to help him to beat walnuts, offering him reward for so doing. But the other excused himself because the place was far off and difficult to access. Then Brother Giles said to him, "My friend, if thou wilt give me a part of the walnuts, I will come with thee to beat them." So the agreement being made, he went with the man, and first making the sign of the cross, he climbed the high walnut tree, and in great fear began to beat. When he had finished beating, he gathered up more for his share than he knew how to carry. So taking off his habit and tying the sleeves and the hood, he made a sack of it, and filling it with walnuts, he took it upon his back and carried it to Rome, and with great joy gave the walnuts to the poor for the love of God. When the corn was reaped, Brother Giles went with other poor persons to gather the ears of corn, and if anyone offered him a handful of grain, he would say, "Brother, I have no granary wherein to store it, and for the most part, what I gather I give to the poor for the love of God." Brother Giles had little leisure to help others at such times, for he had to fulfill his appointed task, and also to say the canonical hours and make his mental prayer. When once he went to the fountain of San Sisto to fetch water for the monks of that place, a man asked him some water to drink. Brother Giles answered, "How can I take the vessel half filled to the monks?" On this the man, being angry, spoke many hard and reproachful words to Brother Giles, who returned very sorrowful to the monks. Then, borrowing a large vessel, he came back forthwith to the fountain, and finding the man there, he said, "Take, my friend, and drink as much as thou soul desireth, and be not angry that it seemed to me unjust to take a scant measure of water to those holy monks." Then he, being constrained and conscience-stricken by the charity and humility of Brother Giles, acknowledged his fault, and from that day forth held him in great reverence. Chapter 6. How Brother Giles was miraculously assisted in a great necessity when, by reason of a heavy fall of snow, he was hindered from going out to quest. Brother Giles was once staying in Rome at the house of a cardinal when Lent was drawing near, and being unable there to enjoy the quiet of mind which he desired, he said to the cardinal, "My father, I pray you give me permission to go with my companion to spend this